Thank you. We may be missing our secretary. I'm not sure. R. Paul, can I just ask if you're here? Okay, so I'll have to pinch hit for a couple of minutes. Hopefully not for the whole meeting. That would be kind of a nightmare. But we'll see if he shows up fairly soon. So this is the regularly scheduled semi-monthly meeting of the PNB National Finance Committee. It 37 p.m. Pacific Time and 8:37 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday, September 13th. Welcome. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a rep from KPFA. I'm the chair of this committee. We're going to start with a roll call by our secretary, which is R. Paul Martin of WBAI. If you would.
Okay, one second. Yeah, I'm getting there. Pardon me.
Hey, R. Paul, can't hear you.
Okay, I'm...
He's stuttering and moving papers around, I think.
Yeah, I'm... It takes a second, and I put this down for a second. And so... okay. Ken Aaron.
Here.
Jim Boyd.
Here.
Bill Prozier.
Here.
Marcus Jeter.
Here. LaVarn here.
Marcus Jeter.
Here.
Okay. Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Kim Kaufman.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Alex Steinberg.
Present.
Barbara Wipperman.
Here.
LaVarn Williams.
Present. I'm the auditors are here, so I'm like providing stuff to them. I'll be in and off the call. I'll try to make sure I'm here for my part of the what needs to be done. So just want to let you know.
Thank you. Would you prefer to kick over the national office budget to actual to next time?
Yeah, that would really be better for me, and so I can get this to, so you know, it's always a rush and they were late. So yeah, that would really be good, Tracy.
Yeah, well, we did that for WPFW, so we will do that for you.
All right, thank you. I'll be listening, but I won't be.
Okay. All right. So we have a draft agenda that was sent to the committee at 2:22 p.m. Pacific time about 3 hours ago. What I normally do is read it out for the stream, so I will do that. Item 1 was roll call and approve agenda. Item 2 was approve public session minutes from the last meeting. Item 3 is to do station reviews, fiscal year budgets to actual and overall results. We had 3 stations scheduled. Well, we actually had 4, but we've had some changes. So we have WBAI with R. Paul Martin, KPFA with Barbara Wipperman, and we've had requests from Marcus Jeter. Is it, or Jeter?
Jeter,
okay. From the treasurer at WPFW and from LaVarn Williams, the CFO, to kick their reports over to the next meeting. So that's what we're going to do. So we'll have 2 budget-to-actual reports. Item 4 is a brief discussion of the audit committee and Sarbanes-Oxley, hopefully 10 minutes there. Item 5 is to make as much progress as possible on our pending discussion items. We have 5 that the committee wanted to cover. First is central file servers. Second is file naming protocol. Third is on-air fundraiser receipts and how they're treated. 4 is a training update. And 5 is a discussion of accounting platforms. And we may need LaVarn present to get too far on some of those, but we can at least start a discussion. Item 6 is to adjourn. Are there any modifications regarding that this draft, or would someone like to move for approval?
This is Kim. I have a comment. Mm-hmm. Did we want to do a follow-up on KPFK, perhaps in closed session?
No. We resolved the issues from KPFK that we had, except for the solar canopy review, which, as I mentioned in the written agenda, we're going to take up in January, not at this meeting. So I'm not sure what we would be doing.
Okay.
Question, Madam Chair?
Yeah.
Yes, this is Campbell. And I'm wondering, what is what are we seeking to accomplish pertaining to Sarbanes-Oxley?
We are pertaining to discuss whether this committee is interested in suggesting a change in the composition of the audit committee per Sarbanes-Oxley recommendations.
Huh.
We may or we may not be.
Interesting. Okay.
Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move we approve the agenda.
Any objections? Is that an objection?
No, I second it.
No, I
am. Oh, okay. Okay, I just heard a noise and I didn't know what it was. Okay, great. So we will then move forward. I believe we have some minutes from, oh, God. Would it be November 29th? We had a meeting in December,
yeah.
But that was a closed session meeting, and I need to report out about that. But I think the open session minutes we have to approve are November 29th. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So those were sent out today. Hopefully people have had a chance to take a look at them. Is there a motion for approval?
I have, this is Jim, I have one, just one addition.
Okay.
On the KPFT report, on the $50,000 grant, it was a restricted marketing grant. And I think that would explain it better.
So any, okay.
Okay.
Any objections?
KPFT report, the first paragraph where it says $50,000 grant.
Yeah.
It was a $50,000 restricted marketing grant.
Marketing.
That would explain it better. It would put it all more into context.
Okay. Any other modifications?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Campbell.
Campbell. Yes. This was put on the in the group, or was it actually sent out?
It was put in the file section, and I sent a an email to the group saying with a link to where it is.
Yeah, unfortunately, you've got an old email address for me, and I haven't been able to access the group.
All right. Give us your current email address, and we will put that email address in the group. I mean, you need to give us your current email address if you haven't done so.
Yeah. Well, everybody, it's on the list, the PNB list. So
you need to submit it to the secretary of the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are there any objections to the amended minutes of November 29th?
Well, I'm going to flat out say that I haven't read them. I'm opening them up now, so I reserve the right to make a comment, you know, somewhere down the line. You know, and since it was about KPFK, I think I really need to pay attention. So
this is what I would say. Any minutes can be brought up, once again, by a member of the committee if they see something that they feel needs to be changed. You can also abstain on their approval if you wish.
Madam Chair, I'll abstain, Campbell.
Okay, then we'll have to go through a roll call, if you would, our Paul, on the minutes as amended.
Nobody's moved to approve them yet, so.
Jim, I approved them. I moved to
approve. Who was that who moved?
That was Jim. Moved to approve.
Thanks, Jim. Okay, our Paul, if you could do a roll call vote so we can get the abstentions on record. I think that'll be helpful.
Okay. All right. On approving the minutes, Ken Aaron.
Abstain.
Jim Boyd.
Approve.
Bill Crozier.
Bill Closier? Yeah, yes, I approve.
Marcus Jeter?
Yes.
Campbell Johnson?
Abstain.
Kim Kaufman?
Abstain.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Tracy Rosenberg?
I'll vote yes.
Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Barbara Wipperman?
Yes.
Lauren Williams?
Yes.
Okay, 8-4-0 against 3 abstentions.
Okay, sounds good. Kim, if something comes to mind that you wish to bring up again at the next meeting, feel free. Closed session minutes will be reviewed in the next closed session, obviously. As a report out, I should mention that this committee met in closed session on both November 29th and then again on December 2nd. At both of those meetings, we discussed personnel and contractual matters at our Los Angeles station, KPFK.
Right. And moving on, we have two stations.
Oh, you got really faint there, Tracy.
Sorry. Okay, so moving on, we have two station reviews scheduled for tonight, or at least we have two of the four still scheduled for tonight. One is WBAI.
It's very hard to hear you.
You're all muffled.
Okay. So why? Weird. Is this better?
Good.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Did you guys hear the report out from executive session, or should I do it again?
That was pretty clear. It was after that.
Okay. All right. So we're going to move on to item three, which is the station reviews. We had four scheduled originally. Two of them have actually remained scheduled. That is WBAI with R. Paul Martin, KPFA from Barbara Wipperman. That is the order that I have them on the agenda, but it is totally random, and you guys are free to switch, but one of you is up.
Okay.
No.
I can go.
R. Paul, are you willing to go first?
Yes. I just have to type this in because I'm... Because when we do this, I have a combination of typing stuff in and grabbing stuff, plus I have to switch two pairs of reading glasses, so this could be a little less.
Okay.
I will see what I can do here. All right.
Well, we're making pretty good time, so I think we can take a minute to
let you get
yourself together.
Yeah, no, it's here. I just have to. When I'm writing the stuff down, I have to. It takes a second, as you've all noted. All right. So we're mostly basing this on the file that we got some weeks ago, which has so many ones in the beginning of it. File name 111115, FY 2011, monthly income statement with GL code .xls. And that's what we're mostly basing this on. All right.
When was it sent?
When was it?
And by whom?
Let me look.
I think it was LeVarn, and I think it was the 15th.
This is entirely possible. Let me look here.
Excuse me. What station is going first?
This is WBAI we're talking about right here.
Okay, thank you.
I have it on the 15th. Yes, from LeVarn on November 15th. And it's
okay, I got it. Thank you. Yeah.
It's the monthly income statement with, you know, the date at the front of it, 11-11-15, which is a big picket fence when you look at it. Okay. So what we did was we first of all, let me say, our scheduled two Finance Committee meetings, LSP Finance Committee meetings for this, and the first one, the committee never got to it, and the second one, we didn't have a quorum, and it just broke up. So I scheduled a third meeting, which we had, and we got to it. And we still have some, this Finance Committee still has a number of questions, and we're not totally done with it. But My reading of the bylaws is that the LSB is supposed to report to the PNB quarterly, which nobody apparently does, as opposed to every half year. And so what we're thinking of doing is continuing this at a future meeting, which we've scheduled for January, and we're going to get some questions answered and some more details, at which point we'll bring that to the LSB as a motion. However, right now we're doing this, so I just wanted to get that part in. All right. The way I've tended to do these things in order to make the most of the time that the local finance committee has is to hit the biggest items first so that we talk about the six-figure items for the most part and we don't end up spending time talking about three- and four-figure items. And that's what we have done here. So I'm going to skip around a bit. And the reason I'm skipping around a bit is because I'm covering the bigger, most important numbers before anything else. All right. Line 91. Total revenue is better by $3,874, which is about 0.1%. And, you know, that's it's good that we're that isn't a negative figure in and of itself, but it really is necessary for WBAI to be doing better than that, as we'll see in a little in another minute or two here. We're doing better than we had been in the past, definitely better than in the past, but we're not doing better enough with the expenses and the future expenses. The station needs to do significantly better. Line 207, the almost bottom line, net income, net loss, was budgeted to be negative $434,000. The actual is a negative $564,000, rounding figures. Which is about $130,000 worse than budget by about 30% or so. Now, in these figures, line 203, shared expenses, plays a significant role because, of course, the shared expenses is on an accrual basis, which can drive some of us a little bit crazy while we're trying to look at all this. But it's on the accrual basis, and WBAI was supposed to have paid $478,641, but we didn't. Our general manager told us at the meeting that we actually paid about $80,000 this past year in FY11 of the shared expenses. And so we're, again, significantly behind on how much we're actually paying in terms of our shared expenses, which was formerly Central Services. However, we have paid something, which is better than some of the past years where we paid zero. Talking about the net income net loss, our general manager says that the real net is about $85,000 in the red. And if you take the line total direct expenses, which is line total direct. I have slipped something. Hold on a second. I'm getting back in my
201.
Okay, it's line 201. And if you take total direct expenses from total revenue, you end up with the actual being $85,208 in the red. However, we were budgeted to be $30,714 in the black. So that would come out, when you put those numbers together, that comes out to about $116,000 worse than budget as a net income net loss, as opposed to the $129,130,000 that is cited in on the spreadsheet. So there are some differences we're finding in there, and you know either way WBAI is three figures in the red for FY11, which is not good at all. It's actually better than some previous years, and it's a low three figures, and we sort of have a bit of a $13,000 quibble about it, I guess you could say at this point. But we're still over $100,000 in the red as our net, which is obviously not sustainable. And again, although we're doing better, we need to do better. The next thing is line 75, listener support. And that was budgeted at $2.38 million. And the actual is $2.47 million, so we came in $86,290 better than budget. This is a very good thing because, of course, for all the stations, the listener support line is the major line. That's our most important, our largest income. It's the thing we absolutely count on. So having an improvement over budget there is a bright spot in this particular income statement for WBAI. And our general manager tells us that WBAI's overall fulfillment rate for FY11 is about 79%, which is a serious improvement over past years. During the budgeting process, we went a lot back and forth about where could we do it, how could we do it, you know, what fulfillment rate should we try to put in. And, you know, there have been arguments back and forth about where to put it. And the fulfillment rate on the FY12 budget is lower than 79 because we weren't sure what it was going to be. But the fact that for FY11 we did 79, you know, we are probably going to do at least that for FY12. So I think there's going to be an improvement. This is like an upturn here for WBAI. And that is something that we are glad to see. It is significant that the fulfillment rate is going higher. In the past number of years, we have had the fulfillment rate diving. A part of the reason for this was because for a period of, I think it was a year and a half or close to 2 years, we had a certain situation where approximately 5,000 to 6,000 premiums were simply not sent out. People paid for them, they never got them. And so this caused a significant downturn in our revenue, in our listener support revenue, because if you're a listener and you pledge some amount of money and you pay the money for a premium and you never get it, and then when you call up to complain about that, nothing happens, you know, you're going to be a little bit leery about ever sending us money. Over the past two and a half years here, WBAI has been doing a lot to catch up with those premiums that were delinquent. So not only have we been sending out premiums as a regular thing now, but we've been trying to catch up on that huge 5,000 to 6,000 premium backlog that we stiffed the listeners on. So I think that is also an important part of why the fulfillment rate is up a number of percentage points here. So this is, to me, this is really the really good part of the entire income statement and the review of the FY11 budget, that it's up that high. We have on line one, we have some questions too, by the way. On line 124, telephone, we are almost, we're $28,500 worse than budget. And wow. The Finance Committee has been asking for the signed contract for a while, and we have seen a contract, but it's not the signed one, so we're not sure what the terms really are. And we are asking again for the signed contract on the new telephone system. The general manager tells us that part of why we're more than $28,000 in the red for the telephone line is because we have two separate telephone systems still operating at the radio station. and exactly why we have the two operating at once. I'm not sure. There were some significant differences among technical people about how some things should be done, and I think those are not fully resolved for all of FY11. So right here, pardon me, right here I'm making a formal request for the signed contract for the new telephone system. And so there's that. All right. Okay. The next thing. Oh, boy. Okay. I didn't bring up one file here. Let me bring up one file here that I have from recently. Here it is. All right. Then we have to... we also have a question on line 80. Line 80 is... line 80 is donations capital campaign. And there are questions about shouldn't this be restricted and marked restricted, and that's the question right there. Is this should be restricted in the spreadsheet, and it's not marked as restricted, and people at the Finance Committee made a point that they wanted it to be marked restricted. All right. Let's see. The major donors, which is line 78, the major donors is down kind of significantly. It was budgeted for $78,000. We came in at $54,000 and change, so we're $23,500 short on that. And management says that the part of the problem there is just that the bracket has been increased for major donors, so that's a part of it. In other words, it had been, I think it was $1,000, now it's $5,000. So if you look at line 79, donations, you sort of have to try to balance those two out, because when we had budgeted $1,000 and up as major donor, but since this got changed during the year, apparently, management tells us, some of what would have been major donor got pushed into just donations. If you add all those up and do the subtractions, you end up with BAI being about $50,000 better in that combined range. So that also is another really good thing. And one of the things that is, again, bothering us a bit, we have line 84, crafts fair income, and basically, I'm having to switch glasses for 1 second to look at the paper. We've got lines 83 and 84, and those are really, they should sort of be together, because we don't have a crafts fair. We have a regular Saturday morning ticket giveaway, sale, whatever you want to call it, thing. We have a guy with he's a part of the New York City Broadway theater community, and he has a program on BAI, and part of his program is he gives away theater tickets. And, you know, these aren't little theater tickets. These are Broadway theater tickets. And so for a certain amount of money, you call in a pledge and you get you get theater tickets at a significantly discounted rate. And we've had for years this thing being bounced back and forth in the spreadsheets, making it rather difficult to keep track of. And at this point in time, it is it's lines 83 and 84 in some ways conflated. You'll notice that line 84 has a budget of 186 and an actual of zero, whereas line 83 has a budget of zero and an actual of 153 grand. So you add all of those up and subtract all of that, and you come up around about 30 grand short. So altogether, the Saturday morning ticket sales thing comes in about 30 grand short, which is somewhat disappointing right there. We also, of course, later on, we have the CPB grants. The CPB grant was lower than we had budgeted. We had budgeted 319, and we got, 196 or 195 or so. So those are the major things that helped to sort of, unfortunately, counterbalance our better listener support income, and which is why we ended up coming in just barely in the black in the total revenue. Moving down a little ways here. Switching some glasses. All right. We have capital. This is a question from the committee, by the way. Lines 210 to 217, capital items. Okay, where am I? Here am I? There we go. Lines, those lines, 210 to 217, we have a lot of capital items in there, and they're budgeted, but the actual net is zero for all of them. And, for instance, furniture and fixtures has a July cost of $1,250, and in September we have a negative $1,250, which means the actual is zero. The same thing with computer equipment. June and July we have expenses or expenditures in that line. That's line 212. And then in September we have the total of those as negative, and that zeroes that out. And so the committee is asking what's happening with the capital items, especially the computer systems. I think we have, in fact, bought at least a couple of new computers. We could use more than a couple. And so, you know, we have a question on that particular thing right there. And let's see here. And we are also asking, well, we're asking for several things from management. Management is going to get us some more information. And we're looking for some breakdowns of a couple of things. As I mentioned before, line 124, the telephone, since there are two systems, we're looking to find out if this is all because of one system or if both systems are costing us more than was budgeted. And so anyway, right now, that's pretty much the report. And again, WBAI is doing better, and it's not doing better enough. WBAI's lease is up in a year. At the end of December 2012, our lease is up. Management is looking around for space, and that's going to be a very big deal, and I don't know where the money's going to come from for that. Anyway, right now, that's the presentation I have for tonight.
All right. Thank you very much. Before we go to question and answer, I'm just going to ask if Alex Steinberg has anything to add, although it's hard to imagine, but maybe you do.
I don't really. Compounding my problem is I don't have the spreadsheet in front of me. I'm not sitting in front of a computer right now.
Okay. So, okay. Well, feel free to type in on the question answer.
I think our poll gave a pretty good summary of where we're at.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, well, with that, we will open up the stack for questions, if there are any.
Bill? Yeah,
LaVarne?
Kim.
Okay, I heard Bill, Kim, and LaVarne. Was there anybody else in there? Okay, so we'll start with Bill.
Okay, and thank you, R. Paul. Very thorough, and I was glad that the revenue, even though there were variations in individual items, it ended up with slightly in the black. Looks like the major problem was expenses, and I know I noted four lines. I guess the major concern is, are these projections for this year's for FY12 budget more realistic than the FY11 one? You mentioned one of them, the telephone. You know, that could be a problem for this year, too, if you still have two systems. So I hope you'll talk to your management about that and see, you know, what's going to be done. The other item was health, let's see, line 101, health benefits was up significantly over budget. Tower rent, same thing. And then also that was line 166. And then line 130, consultants. I guess my concern is if you're going over on any of these things, you know, you need to cut something else. And I was wondering if that's the plan for this year.
Okay. Regarding the telephone thing, we are, that's part of why we're asking for the signed actual real in-force contract about the telephone to see if we can get a handle on this. So that is something we have flagged too and need to find out about. The next question was line 101, which is the health benefits. Yeah. Part of what's happening at BAI is we have three different providers. And that alone makes a bit of an expense. We have a number of people on Oxford, and that's the provider that we brought in back in 1987 when we first unionized WBAI under UE Local 404. In disclosure, I was chief steward during that time, and we managed to get some very good benefits, and so there are still some people with that, and it is more expensive. It's very good, and it's expensive. So that's a part of the healthcare health benefits on line 101 going over. And plus, we have folks have family benefits, and so the family benefits thing seems to have gotten larger. Maybe people are getting larger families, or people are getting married, or something. And in any case, that is also a contributor to it. I am hoping that for FY12 we have figured out where that's going to land. That's a hope of mine. All right. The other question was the tower rent. Yeah. We're late with the tower rent sometimes. We get charged extra when we're late with the tower rent. And I think the major, major thing with the tower rent is the late fees. And that's something I think we should be able to do something about. And let me get to that particular point here. Yeah, it's not, you know, looking at the overall number, that isn't a gigantically worse number, but it is significant, and it would be very good if what we budgeted had been the actual. But again, we have fees, the extra fees we're charged for being late. Two, it is possible, I'm not sure, we're going to find out, I think. It is possible that some of the rent expense is also some extra expenses that show up along with the antenna stuff, because we pay the tower rent, but there is also things about, more than one thing, about the antenna. And I won't get into the esoterics of that, but we get extra billing on that stuff, too. And I know that we had to catch up on paying some of that this year. So we have talked about that, and we are very much hoping that management can get those bills paid on time and that we don't get any really significant, oh, by the way, expenses that show up in that place from time to time. And the other question, line 130 consultants. Yeah, that's an issue. And one of the things is we have to make sure that we get people who are there on a regular basis as paid staff. And I think some of that expense for the future is about to migrate to payroll. So there's that. That answer the questions, I hope.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I guess the main thing was just to make sure that if for FY12, you know, if we guess too low, we budgeted too low last year, if the current year's budget is realistic, and even if consulting, if you're going to move people from consultants to payroll, that makes sense. But then, and of course, there's the payroll line item,
right,
realistic. So we don't end up at the end of the year with, you know, more surprises.
Yeah. Well, we went over that. Pardon me, one second. Pardon me. We went over that, for those months there that we did a lot of this stuff. And I think the payroll is going to be realistic. Now, as it turns out, there's negotiations going on with AFTRA at BAI, so there could be an adjustment. In fact, I suspect there's going to be an adjustment because people haven't had raises in a while. So I think what's going to happen is we're going to see an adjustment in the payroll no matter what.
Okay, well, I hope you talk to your manager about what else is going to be cut then, because if it's going up above the budget, you know, we need the total expenses to be sort of contained.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll just sort of put out before we go to the next person in the stack that, you know, once it's quantifiable, if there is in fact an increase negotiated, if you could get a sense, Paul, of exactly how much expenses will go up accordingly, and maybe bring that back to the Finance Committee and we can take a look at the budget and see what happens if we plug in those numbers. I think that would be a good thing for the committee to look at doing when it knows what those numbers are.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So Kim is next, and then we'll go to LaVarne.
Oh, thanks, R. Paul. That was really a very thorough report. I'm going to ask this now. It wasn't on my list, but as far as the health benefits, Arlene's not on this call, but that might be something. She, you know, like how much we're paying and how much the increases are, something to be brought to her attention since she is kind of talking about this stuff right now. On those Broadway ticket sales thing, why are there expenses associated with that?
Okay. The reason is the we used to do it with saying, hey, come down and help the guy on the air on Saturday morning to pardon me, I'm getting stuff in my throat here. We used to just do a general thing the way we do when we have a marathon, where we go on the air and say, oh, please come down and answer the phones. That's what we had done for a while with the Saturday morning ticket sales. And, you know, it was catch as catch can, and sometimes people just wouldn't show up. And you would end up with, he'd have some, you know, really great tickets at a fabulous price, and the phones are ringing like crazy, but we have, you know, two people to answer a whole load of phone calls, or in some cases one person or zero. And so what happened was there was a an agreement that the guy who does the ticket sales, he's with an organization, the Fortune Society, and he has some folks from there coming in on a regular basis to answer phones on Saturday morning. And it's much more regular because he's in the organization and he lines people up and they know that they're going to be there on Saturday mornings. And so that has alleviated the problem of missing, you know, getting these essentially call them pledges, if you will. People call up with a credit card and say, give me the ticket. And there are expenses with that. I think each individual was paid $35 to show up and do that. And unfortunately, there's nothing in writing about this. The business manager and management's plural have said, we have nothing in writing. There's some sort of a verbal agreement for how this works. And so there are expenses, and there they are. Which
and,
would also,
and what was the loss, like $30,000,
$50,000? Okay, well, what, hold it. Which? No. That's the income. The income was low. The income was lower than expected by around about $30,000, it appears. Again, this is putting things together and saying it looks like that because stuff is on different lines.
But you have the expenses on one line and the income on the other line, and the expenses were higher than the income, is what I recall.
No. What I said was, all right, I don't think I mentioned the that particular, that was in revenue, so I wasn't mentioning expenses at all in that one. The income from the ticket sales was around about approximately $30,000 less. For the expenses for that, that's under community events, which is, you know, I wish we would do that a little bit better there. And this year it looks, it's under crafts fair expenses, line 196. This is where I think it is, okay? Again, we listening back to old NFC meetings, you'll hear me saying, you know, we can't track this stuff, please write it down. As far as I can tell, line 196 is the expenses. And that's actually about $3,000 better at this point.
You mean $3,000 lower than last year?
Yeah.
So is it ultimately?
Then budgeted. Now, last year we had at some point we had a slight overage on that. So again, the $30,000 off is the fundraising on that is $30,000 lower than we had projected.
Well, at the end of the day, is it making money or is it costing money?
Oh, it's making money.
Okay. Here's the other thing. Can any of this stuff be done online? Can you do, like, an eBay auction for these ticket sales, something like that? You don't have to.
Okay. I'm not sure about that. I think people have brought this up to management, and management hasn't specifically brought this up to me. But I think enough people have brought similar stuff up to management that their management is considering what to do.
Okay.
Exactly how to do certain of these things at BAI is a question. And for this specific thing, I am not at all sure because the person doing it is used to doing it this way. I don't know if he's been approached to try and put this online or not. Maybe he has. And I have not heard anything about plans for this. That doesn't mean there aren't plans for this. It means I haven't heard about plans for this. At the moment, we are still doing the go on the air, make the pitch, and the stuff comes in. Also, and this is just me thinking about that idea. These are serious Broadway theater tickets. And if you were to do it online, it is possible some of the vendors who make real amounts of money on this might find that a direct competition thing that they would not be pleased about. So that could cause problems back and forth. So it may not be a simple issue to do that.
Okay, whatever. I mean, I just floated the idea. Other people have thought about it. You know, I mean, that's not that big a deal. I just thought that what you were saying, it had really lost money. But if it's doing basically okay, you know, it ain't that broke yet. You know. As far as the capital expenses, yes, they should definitely have a segregated account. No question. I mean, that should just be done.
Camelford stat.
And also with the phone contract, Alex, perhaps you can do a director's inspection, like, and get it within 3 days. I mean, there's no reason why, you know,
on the phone contract thing, I believe that this went up to the national office, a request for the phone contract, and they simply weren't able to locate it. That's the last information I know about it. I could certainly try a director's inspection, but that's my knowledge of the last status of this bit of information.
Yeah. Well, I understand, you know.
Hey, Kim, I'm just going to ask you to start to wrap up your questions because this is like the tenth back and forth with our poll. There are other people on the stack. Okay, thanks.
Okay, could I answer that?
Well, look, all I want to say is, you know, you should be able to see it if you have to call the company to get the contract. Like, that would be a good thing.
Okay.
Whatever. But, you know, I'm ready. I'm done. So.
Okay. Regarding segregated stuff, management informs us that the general manager has opened a restricted account.
Right.
And it's a separate, completely separate bank account into which some money is put and is not withdrawn. So
right.
There, for some stuff, there is this restricted account that management has set up, and that's going to be the capital campaign because management thinks we're going to move. So that's happening right there. And with the phone thing, I mean, maybe LaVarne's going to say something about that. But the last we heard, it's in the national office and basically what Alex said there. So we're asking for somebody to see if they can dig it out again. And it has been again suggested, call the company and ask them to send a copy, their copy, which
right.
we hope they won't play with.
Okay. So a time check here, folks. We're at 6:29 Pacific, 9:29 Eastern. We do have another station to do. We should try probably to wrap up this BAI section in no more than 10 minutes. Otherwise, we're all going to get really cranky and not be done. That said, on the stack, we have LaVarne and Campbell. LaVarne, you're next.
Okay. Yes. You know, I was not going to mention that phone system because it sounds like, I mean, it's like Groundhog Day. We've gone over this like 50 times. It's the same answer. We have a contract. We faxed it that was signed. The question is, okay, you have a signed contract. Why are you paying for two phone systems? You know, when are you going to finally complete the installation of the phone system and cut off the old phone system? So it hasn't had anything to do with the contract. It has to do with making it happen. So you now have an operations director. So we are hoping that, you know, within the next, we go into the new year, that will happen. That, you know, there will be one phone system. There will not be two phone systems. But my question was on the move. Capital campaign, well, not the capital campaign, but is there a committee there? You know, you said the finance committee, are they, like, getting together to like, look at and to help with this move or looking at fundraising to our capital campaigns to make this move possible? What is the function of the finance committee on the move? Thanks. That's it.
Well, let's see. The WBII LSB Finance Committee is an interesting topic. Basically, what is the Finance Committee doing about the move? We're asking questions. Some people are making suggestions, some of which are unrealistic, in my personal opinion, are unrealistic. And that's about what's happening right there. In terms of the, if you're asking if the Finance Committee is going to raise pots full of money, that seems very improbable to me. You know, we have, sometimes there are divergent agendas at meetings, and it, you know, stuff happens.
LaVarn, do you have a follow-up, or are you done?
Oh, yeah, LaVarn, no, not really. It's just that, you know, we just suggest that, you know, this is in 12 months, you know, there has to be a decision on what's going to happen with BAI. So maybe there could be some project-related effort the Finance Committee to make that, to assist the management there too.
Yeah, I think that next year's Finance Committee will definitely have to grapple with it. It's probably a little beyond the ken of what this Finance Committee can do before the end of January, would be my assessment.
I was talking about BAI.
Oh, yeah. No, BAI itself, but also I think the National Finance Committee can look at it, but I think it's a little beyond the end of this Finance Committee to do much there. Okay, Campbell, you are next. Campbell? Campbell, hear me?
Well, if I unmute, I can probably do a better job at this.
Perfect. You're unmuted. All right, you're up.
Okay. I trust that BAI has a relocation committee that's got a priority focus on this. Yep.
Mostly we have the general manager, and there are some people working with the general manager. That's what I know about.
Let me just suggest the obvious, and that is that if you give this committee a task and ask them to report back at every LSB meeting, then, you know, somebody, if they don't have anything to report, hopefully people will feel guilty and let their imaginations get to work, and they'll come up with some suggestions. My other question is a very brief one also. The people on this who you're compensating, I guess we could say, for coming in to answer the phones or something in regard to the tickets, that the Broadway tickets that you have, are you giving them a 1099, or is that something that's been cleared so that that won't be presenting a, you know, a liability in the future, a problem in the future?
All right. Again, prefacing with this answer with, I am told there is nothing in writing. It is my understanding that the Fortune Society is handling that. In other words, I believe we're handing over, you know, I think we're handing over the money to them and they pay the people. If, on the other hand, we're not, then, yeah, we'd have a 1099 on those.
Okay, and you get a receipt for the money? I mean, you know, when you're saying that you don't have any documentation, or you didn't say that precisely.
No contract. There's no contract.
Yeah.
The agreement is not in writing.
That might be something you'd want to look at, because who knows from where an issue might come, you know. And it would be better to have even just a letter of understanding that you might refer to as a memorandum of understanding that would engage this. And then, you know, receipts can go back and forth so that there can be an audit trail. And, you know, you wouldn't have people who are auditors or have that orientation raising questions about something that's really not all that much money, but, you know, it can end up being a whole lot of trouble.
Yes. I brought up the issue of why isn't there anything in writing, because I was surprised about it, and what, you know, what exactly is the agreement about two or so years ago, maybe a little longer, and we spent some time with me asking about that, and basically there is no contract, there's nothing in writing, that's it. And so I bring this up now and again, but there are other fires to be put out and dealt with.
Sure, I understand.
Okay, can I provide a little? You're done? Okay. This is Tracy for the stack, and I guess I'll just go ahead. Just for a little supplementary information, 1099s are only due to individuals if a certain sum within the fiscal period or the calendar year, in this case it would be our fiscal year, exceeds $600. To one individual. It is true that Broadway tickets are expensive, so I'm not saying that it's off the table, but 1099s would not come into play unless payments were made of $600 or more to any one individual or one Social Security number in the course of a fiscal year. Okay. Is there anything else on WBAI? Okay, I think we got through that in reasonable shape. So everybody breathe for a second or two, and then we will turn to KPFA whenever Barbara's ready.
Well, I'm ready.
Okay. Well, I was going to give you a couple minutes if you wanted to take them, but whatever.
But I've got to say that I have not, I don't have quite the lengthy report that our Paul provided, and I'm going to just go through figures here from the same statement that Laverne released on November 15th. In looking at, and I'm not going to skip around. I'm going to start at the beginning and go through to the end. And I don't know if you all have a KPFA statement. There's so many pieces of paper here, I'm pretty certain you probably just got your own. But in looking at the total revenue for KPFA for fiscal year 11, we brought in less than we had budgeted by $151,000. We brought in $3,478,77. That's all categories of revenue. And the budgeted figure for all categories together was $3,622,200.
What was your total? I'm sorry.
The total actual
was
$3,470,877. And we were short $151,323. So in looking at just listener support, we brought in $2,655,274. And what had been budgeted was $2,871,763. So that income was short from the budgeted expected amount by $216,489. We were short on donations, on community and crafts fair. That was short what was expected by $12,800. However, we were over on the CPB grants and other grants that we, as far as what we had budgeted. So miscellaneous income was also about $60,000 more than we had budgeted. So those positive items made the difference as far as the total revenue. Where listener support was short by $216,000. When you total all the income together, it was $151,000 that we were short. Direct expenses were about, let's see, $100,000 more, not quite $100,000 more than we budgeted. What was budgeted was $2,907,863, but what our expenses, our total direct expenses, were $3,501,000. So the difference was $92,638. The shared expenses were actual was less than what we had budgeted because, of course, the listener support was less than what we had budgeted. And our shared expenses were $507,162, and that was $52,832 less than we had budgeted.
Did you part of the line items to help us find those?
Well, you know, I can, but I noticed that when R. Paul was giving his lines, they're not the same that it was on mine. I'm looking at the summary page right now, and the total expenses is line 63. So I don't if that I don't know whether that fits the document you're looking at. The net income, net loss is line 66. So we were minus $36,787 in the actual net loss, comparing the total expenses and the total revenue. In the capital account expenditures, and these are lines 68 through 75, Bill. I don't know if that helps.
Thank you.
The deficiency in that category was $74,571. We had budgeted, expecting, $118,243. So since we didn't make that, and we didn't, and we were down $74,571, that's a total negative figure of $192,814. So in looking at the, so that's the summary page. I don't know whether we need to break down the income any more than I just gave you. If anybody wants to know anything about particular income lines, I could read those. But I'll just, for now, skip to the expenses. The salaries, total salary and related expenses, the actual was $1,863,755, and that was $107,269 more than what was budgeted. And board, let's see, board expenses was $12,286. And that was $4,888 less than we had budgeted for. So there was some positive figures in that category. Administrative expenses, including depreciation, were actual expenses were $430,643. And that was $25,834 more than we had budgeted. Program expenses were $279,548, and that was $10,644 more than we had budgeted. Development expenses were $314,908,000, and that was $33,278 less than we had budgeted. So there was some funds there that we had rather than going in the hole. The community events and craft fair expense together was $99,360, and that was $12,943 less than we had budgeted. So now the shared expenses. So let's see, the total direct expenses then were $3,501,000, and that was $92,638 more than we had estimated, which those figures I gave you also from the summary page in the beginning. The shared expenses, we paid $507,162, but that was $52,832 less than had been budgeted. But, of course, since the income was less, that affected the shared expenses. So we get down to the net income loss, then, as I'd said before, $36,787 negative figure for actuals. And that brings, comparing the budgeted amount, which had been expected to be $154,343 positive, that brings us to $191,130 loss. And the capital items, list as actual, the expense $37,784, and the budgeted amount had been $36,100. So the difference there is $1,684. And the surplus or deficiency bottom line then is a negative $74,581 actuals and $192,814 when you compare it to what was budgeted and not made.